And in taking the outline that Ann had, I'm going to add to it what I have. What is that? I want to know what causes, what steps do we go through to depart from evil as revealed in this passage. Then I want to try to interweave, come back and bring in the application for us. So I think I have my work cut out for me. There are 55 verses, and I'm not trying to keep you all in here till, you know, the sun comes up the next day. So we need to go ahead and start with it, Dree, and get into this passage and see what's going on, please. Verse 1 of chapter 31.
And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before.
3.
And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock.
Now I want you to feel what's going on here. I've already given you one outline and an acrostic. Now I want you to kind of see how I work through it, okay? It's not going to be totally different than that, but I'm going to reach in and I want to kind of, I want to feel some of the colors. I want to go in and I want to hear the sounds of what's going on. And the scripture says, and he heard this Laban's son saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's. And this is how he got his glory. The word there, kabod, this is where he got his weight. This is where he got to be built up like he was. I submit to you that what has happened is these boys have seen what God has done for Jacob. And these boys are beginning to covet. These guys are beginning to have some envy in what's going on with Jacob. And this is the motivational thing that is causing the whole thing to be stirred up. I submit to you that God has a way to deliver a person out of the temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it is. Is it 10? It's 13 verse 10? 10 and 13. Thank you, Gary. And it lets us know explicitly the Lord knows how to deliver a person out of the trial that they're in. And often, the test that they were in, God placed them there. Sometimes it's because you're being chided. Sometimes the Lord is teaching you to grow. Sometimes the Lord has things that he wants you to learn. I submit to you that I told you when we were going through the acrostic of departing from evil that sometimes the evil is in us. Sometimes it's in the family. I want to deal with the family today. This evil is in the family. These are Jacob's relatives. These are his uncle's sons, which are his cousins. And now they are beginning to begrudge. So if you want to look at how I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with the motivation, the begrudging or the envy, the bitterness and God's bidding. I got three B's there. I got the begrudging. This is the coveting. The bitterness. Laban's countenance is not the same as it was before. And God bidding or ordering him to make his departure. It says, Laban's son says, Jacob has taken away all that was our daddy's. Discussing it back and forth. And they told this to their father. You see how Jacob is prospering? He stole that from you. He took it from you. Grudging or begrudging somebody, coveting, envy will cause a person to lie. It will cause a person to steal. It can cause people to murder. The 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet, because with coveting comes a lot of little cousins and children and offspring. It's like kudzu. It'll go all up over the place and it's hard to get rid of it. And the Bible says, and Jacob beheld, and Laban's countenance was not like it was before. We talk about sometime when we read in the New Testament a root of bitterness. There's a bitterness that's in Laban now. We already know that Laban is crooked. We already know that Laban is greedy. And now his son seeing it and they're talking about it. Obviously, Laban wasn't paying attention to the stuff as much as he should have. And now his countenance was not the same. But the Bible says, and the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of thy kindred, of thy fathers to your kindreds, and I will be with you. I want us to understand that the motivation for this to take place is not just the fact that they were envious, not just the fact that Laban was bitter. It was the fact that God said it's time. Do you notice when she has here the discernment and the exit? They're running right in line. He discerned what was going on, but God gave him the exit. And what did God tell him that he would do? God said, I would protect him. If I could just make a little touch on us today, when we have a problem with kin people, when we have a problem with jobs, when we have a situation that we know that's not right, and you can see what's going on, you can see how people are treating you in your own family, you don't let the fact that somebody has your blood, an incident of birth, keep you in a situation that God can't get his glory in your life. If you can see that there's an exit that God has provided for you, take it. And know that he'll protect you. Please read verse number 4.
And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before. But the God of my father hath been with me.
Notice, he now is, as she has here, pleading his case. But I'm seeing here that this man has begun to postulate everything that has been happening, and he is at the time trying to, while he postulates, he's trying to persuade them. He's not going out there, I'm your husband. We got to get away from your daddy and his, and your brothers. They getting ready to do something to us. This man is laying out a case. Most of the time when we have dealt with people in the family or on the job, we may leave and make an exit, but we act like when we're doing it, we're ashamed to tell the truth. We act like we let people see us doing stuff and they don't know why. How do you teach your children how to deal with situations when you don't explain to them why you're doing what you're doing, especially when God has said it? How? You go and you make this big move. You go in here and make fundamental changes in your family. And you have children watching and looking. And you don't let them know why. You don't even try to bring them to the Lord's side. Just because we're over people doesn't mean that we do not teach. You're training people that will be adults. Gary, you're training a young woman, and you're training a young man that's in the future. You will make decisions in your life, you and Dree, that will go along with God's will. But if you teach your children, let them see how the decision-making process goes. Let them see that what you're doing is right. Let them see what God is doing in this. You train them by action how to go along with it. And it's not just the fact, well, I flipped a coin. Well, I got mad. So Jacob postulates his case, and he persuades these people to go on. Read on, please.
And ye know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me.
I like where we've gone here. Do you see what your father's done? Here is the case. You have discernment. This is how your father, he's not like he was to me before. You know I served him. True. You know that I've served him. They got 3 days' journey, and I'm serving him. Now, you know that I've done this to your father, and your father has deceived me, and he's changed my wages 10 times. Mark me if I'm wrong. 10 times your father has changed my wages. But he acknowledges God in there. But God suffered him. God did not allow him to do me harm. Now what you're doing, what he's done in this, as he's pleading his cause, as he's persuading them, as he's postulating the truth. He's getting them to see it's a bigger picture. It's bigger than me and Laban. It's bigger than me and Laban and his sons. It's bigger than me, you, and Laban. It's God. This is a God thing. God has taken the control of this situation, and he has not allowed him to do me hurt. Although, 10 times, he's tried. Please read.
If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled.
Now, you may not believe that God is doing this for me, Rachel. You may not believe it, Leah. Bilhah, Zilpah, you may not believe it. Children, if you all are listening at this particular time, this is the case. The odds are, as young as they were, only the eldest would have been able to discern what was going on. But if he said, this will be your wages. Now, we already had discussed the wages before. Yes, we did, before I decided to work the extra 6 years. Please read.
And if he said thus, the ring street shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring street. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me.
Would to God that we determine what God has done in a particular situation, irrespective of what someone else has done to us, like Jacob did then. If we would understand when our family is working against us, if we would understand when somebody is just trying to take advantage of us, and they're not doing us any good, and the situation that we're in is detrimental to what we're supposed to be, and that in this particular situation, it is harming us, it is harming our family, it's breaking down the peace, and we can lay a case like this. Look at this. This person is A, B, C, and 1, 2, 3. Now, what happened? And yet, in the midst of this, this is what God has said. This is what God is doing. And I want to stick with what God is doing in this situation. And it's apropos for a job. But you know the worst one to do? Or to deal with pop is when it's in ourselves. When we can lay a case before ourselves that we have deceived ourselves, that we have hurt ourselves, because ourselves as individual is the hardest person many times to convince. He'll make excuses. I'm not as bad as Trina. Well, I'm not as bad as Rico. Well, you know, the Lord understand I'm only human. I prayed. But what does God say? How has God intervened in our lives? There came a time in my life I kept seeing that God was trying to protect me, and I kept doing wrong, and I kept doing wrong. And the last time he got some of that backside of mine, it's time for me to exit this lifestyle. Some people have to keep on over and over again. Dream. He said, if the man said we're going to be ring straight, they would be ring straight. If it was going to be grizzled, it would be grizzled. If it was going to be speckled, whatever, and he said the wage would be, God will let all of them bear that way. Read the next scripture. He'll tell us what that meant.
And it came to pass at the time the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring streaked, speckled, and grizzled.
Now, I lifted up my eyes in a dream. I lifted up my eyes in a dream, or maybe a vision. And I looked, and the rams, the males, that leaped upon the females. You all understand. The male animals, they leap upon the females. Things are happening. But the ones that's doing the leaping, they got three things going on with them. They're ring straight, they're speckled, and they're grizzled. What is that saying, Gary? Oh, glad you asked. Everything and every type of cattle that came when Laban changed the wages was the genetic code to do that was in the rams. It's not the wood that you skin and back. The rods, the poplar, whatever, and you make it. It's not that that's doing it. It's in the animals. God is doing it, and I'm letting you see it's not you. Everything that he changes it to, that same ram has the ability to produce that, and I'm trying to let you see this is God's doing. It's not yours. Stephanie, I know you have been worked against many times. And sometimes you made your exit and sometimes you didn't. But isn't it beautiful to see that whenever, no matter what happened, how God is able, how he is able to thwart the plan of those that would stomp you to the ground and throw some wood on top of it and make you disappear. And yet your plant just keep on growing, keep on blossoming, much to their chagrin. I'm talking about, I've seen this happen in your life. It's a beautiful thing. Dree, read some more of the sweetest word of God.
And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying.
Notice it said the angel, the messenger of God, spoke to him in a dream, saying, this is two, isn't it? It's either two or it's the same one being told in different ways. Go ahead.
Jacob. And I said, here am I.
12.
And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see. All the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee.
Jacob, pay attention to this vision. Pay attention. All of them that leap upon the cattle have all of these things in it. It's not you. Please read.
And he said,
13.
I'm sorry. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee.
I have seen everything that Laban I've seen it. It's not happening in the dark. I know when, even if it's family, when they're working against you. And I see and I judge. 13.
I am the God of Bethel.
Wait a minute. The angel of the Lord identifies himself as who?
The God of Bethel.
I want you to understand that people that don't understand, they understand the scriptures, they don't understand that the angel of the Lord is God himself, the angel of the Lord, with the definite article. Most of the time when you read the scripture and the context will tell you, is God. It's God, the pre-incarnate God, because many times he will appear to people. But just because he's called the angel, don't get confused with these things with wings. The word angel here is messenger. If you get confused with that whenever we talk about Christ being the one that's the angel of the Lord, then you may as well be confused whenever he's called the servant of the Lord. There are positions that Christ can take. And when he takes those positions, that does not mean, hallelujah, that he's less than who he says he is. Please read.
I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedst a vow unto me.
I can remember what you did 20 years ago. I remember the vow that you made. I just need you to understand I'm the same one. Please read.
Now arise. Get thee out from this land and return unto the land of thy kindred.
Notice I have to go back to the exit. I have to go back to the bidding. Jacob is laying this out for him. And if you read it incorrectly, you think Jacob has just now seen it. But remember, he is recapitulating this. He's giving it back to his wives to let them see. I'm telling you God took this. I'm telling you that your brothers are wrong. I'm telling you your daddy is wrong for being bitter with me. I'm telling you that everything that you see is like I said it is. And now I'm giving you validation and authentication of what I was talking about. God did this, and I'm going to even show you how. He showed me. I'm telling it to you. Please read.
And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us, and hath quite devoured also our money.
Next.
For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours, and our children's, now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do.
Now, in looking at this passage where we are today, we've seen the motivation. The motivation was already set when God told him and bid him to go. God promises him protection. Now, Jacob goes and pleads or postulates his cause. He tries to persuade. The persuasion works. and now they're partakers in it. They bought into it. Notice what they said. Listen to what they said in verse 16. For all the riches which God has taken. I don't think they were seeing it as God has taken it before. Maybe they were, but Jacob felt it necessary to persuade them to plead his cause because that is their daddy. I can submit to you that your daddy may not be the daddy that you want him to be. Your daddy may not live up to the standard that you realize it should be lived up to. Your daddy may not be the very one that you would want him to be. But if it's your daddy, it's your daddy. If that's all you know, that's all you that you know. But there comes a time in a person's life that if it's necessary to depart from their daddy, their mom, their brother, their cousin, or whatever it is, the departure must take place. In the lives of us, naturally, it should come a time when a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. When a daughter should leave father and mother and cleave to her husband. But in the case where this evil is taking place, they listen. And Jacob has laid a case out so well, God has built him a case, and he was able to articulate it, that they were willing to separate from their daddy, the ties that they had with him, the brothers, and the land. And what did they, Lord have mercy, I just want to just give us a little rundown of what they said. It said, we don't have an inheritance left. That's true. He sold us. That's true. He's devoured everything that would have been ours. What do we have left to do but to follow your God? Because obviously, we know our daddy. Our daddy would not be on the bottom like this. Our daddy is about what we call business at all costs. Please read.
Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels.
I want us to see what has happened here. After they decided that they were going to partake in him making this exit, Jacob sets up a strategy. You know, I'm looking at somebody. I won't call her name. But when you get ready to do what God say and leave sometimes, you may have to set up a strategy. You may have to find a place to put things. You may have to have another place to go. You may have to decide, I got to stop you from having all access to be able to hurt me. You may have to decide, I got to send out resumes. I may need to get somebody to help me out. You may have to determine, you know what? I need to figure out what it takes for me to set myself where I'm not dependent upon you anymore because you'll hurt me. Jacob sets up a strategy. It is not wicked to set up a strategy. Sometimes God gives you the general and not all the particulars. But he had promised Jacob protection. So what did Jacob do? Jacob rose up, set his sons and his wives upon camels. That's like putting them in the car. Please read.
And he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padam Aram, for to go to Isaac, his father, in the land of Canaan.
He had a place that he was getting ready to go. He had a strategy. Now he's got all these boxcars full of things. Now, somebody say the Bible didn't say it had boxcars. That's right. I'm just saying that he's getting everything together to go. And he's got a lot of stuff to take with him. Please read.
And Laban went to shear his sheep. And Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's.
And Laban had gone to do some other work. They were getting ready to go. And Rachel goes and steals her father's images. We'll talk about that a little later. Please read.
And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled.
That is the strategy. My tongue got tied. Let's see if I can untie it. That is the strategy that Jacob used. Don't tell everything you're going to do, because often they will try to stop you from doing God's will. Sometimes you just have to make a clean break, see your opening, and take it. But, Lord have mercy, it's similar to when God told Abram to get out of his country and from his kindred, he took Lot. And that cost him. That cost him a lot of confrontation, and he had to go and fight a war to help Lot out. Here Jacob is and set God's plan in order, and here's somebody he's taken with him bringing about something that could bring a curse on the family. Still a part of the family. But this is an issue. I submit to you that when we get away from trouble, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be any more. But if God is taking you from one to another, he's teaching you about himself. He's teaching you his ways. He's teaching Jacob about himself. Read some more of the sweet word of God.
So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount Gilead.
So Jacob's strategy was a covert strategy. He did it undercover. He didn't announce it to everybody. He's doing what God said. He told it to the people that were with him that would benefit from him obeying God's will. But to the enemy, to Laban, he told him nothing. Absolutely nothing. It was done covertly. Please read. 22.
And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled.
Jacob has a three-day lead. It was told Laban that Jacob had fled.
And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey. And they overtook him in the Mount Gilead.
So Jacob now has been discovered that it has now been discovered that Jacob has made a covert leave, a covert departure, and now the chase starts. So what we have is Jacob's strategy is done covertly, and it causes Laban to make the chase. And he overtook him in the seventh day that he was in the chase. Please read.
And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night.
I want us to see something that's beautiful here. God comes to Laban in a dream by night. And what does he say?
And said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad.
Now then, as we saw in the beginning, the way that I dealt with this passage, it has really not deviated from the way that Ann helped me break it down. But what I want us to see here is that was a motivation for Jacob to depart. I want us to see the motivation now for Laban to depart. In the motivation for Laban to depart, the seed is set here. God came to Laban the Syrian in the dream and scares him by threatening him. Yes, he does. God comes to him in a dream and he said, you be careful, or you take heed that you speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. Somebody said, I don't think that was a threat. Well, you don't know the scriptures. You don't remember what God did to Abimelech when Abraham was there. And God said to Abimelech, thou art but a dead man. Do you understand that when God starts fighting and speaking on your behalf, when you have obeyed his will, there are some restraints and constraints that the people that would do you wrong or that would hurt you, they now have a fear that's greater than you. I submit to you that there were things that happened in this young woman's life that put fear in somebody's heart that would have done something evil to her. I know it would have happened. It was set in motion. But God orchestrated things in such a way like, don't you lay a hand on her. You better not touch her. Because I've shown you where you'll spend some time. I've shown you what will happen. I've already let you see that you were close to death. And she the one that helped save you. Oh, bless the Lord's everlasting name that sit between the cherubim. We should understand that if God is causing us to leave, we should trust him. Please read.
And then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword.
Now, do you notice that Laban is trying to plead his cause? Do you understand that Laban is trying to do some of the same thing, trying to plead his cause to keep Jacob in his subjection, to keep Jacob in the evil way? He comes out and says, you've stolen away unawares, carried away my daughters as captives because they are your wife, but I'm still acting like they're mine because you are my servant. Please read.
Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs and with tabret and with harp?
You have been a fool. You stole away. You missed out on everything that I had for you. We would have had singing and dancing. We'd have had mirth and song. We'd have drank. We'd have eaten. We'd have eaten. We'd have drunken and we'd have been married. That'd have been songs. Jacob's about to go on home. Doo-dah. Jacob's about to go on home. Oh, the doo-dah day. I mean, we'd have had song. We'd have had mirth. We'd have been drinking the bubbly. I'd have had the harp playing. The tabret, the tambourines would have been beaten. We'd have got Buck Wild up in here. But Jacob, with the long memory, I'm sure he remembered the last time there was tabrets, there was song, there was mirth, there was drinking. And I allowed myself to be under your spell and under the spell of the adult beverage that you pulled a fast one on me. I didn't want your mirth. I didn't want your song or any benefit that you could give unto me. God said it was time to depart from you, to separate from you, and I did it. So your lies don't work that time. It means nothing to me at all. Please read.
And hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing.
Now, when it says you didn't allow me to kiss my sons, grandsons are called sons. And you didn't allow me to kiss my sons. You didn't allow me to give you all my blessings. Jacob, that was foolish what you did. Let him tell you what he feels.
It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt.
It is in my power to decimate you. It's in my power to break you down for what you've done. How dare you to rise up and exit without my permission? How dare you to think you can have a mind or a thought of your own? How dare you to think you can leave from my domination and my tyranny? Do you know I own you? I own you. These are my sons. These are my daughters. And you left without my permission. I submit to you that sometimes family, people on jobs, they act like they think they own us. But we better recognize who really does own us. And let him lead and guide us, learn his word so that we can understand what time it is when it comes to the things of God, or folk will continually rule and reign over us forever. And God will never get the glory in our lives, and we'll never get to see him as he is. Read some more of the sweeted word of God, Dree.
But the God of your father spake unto me last night, saying.
Oh, but your God scared me last night. What did he say?
Take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or evil.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's hard for me to understand that he didn't do what God told him not to. You see, I'm reading something into the passage. You don't need to say nothing to him. But that's really not what it's saying. But when you tell somebody, it's in my power to do you hurt, evidently there must be a line, because Laban definitely was afraid that he didn't cross. Mm-hmm. And he didn't, God said only speak good to him. That's above my pay grade right now. Mm-hmm. Don't commend him and don't condemn him. Don't speak good or evil. It could be that when they say good, don't you try to persuade him to come back with something good. Don't you try to threaten him to come back. That's the best that I have. Because Laban is steadily running his mouth. Please read.
And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my God?
Do you see in this right here how family members can realize when they've been taking advantage of you? Did you see it or did you miss it? You knew he longed to be back at his father's house. You knew he was ready to go back home. He told you at the 14th year mark, when can I can do for my family? When I can do? This is really not even my home. When can I do for my family? And you said something good to him. You persuaded him. You said, you know, I see that the Lord has been blessed me because of you. I see that God has been so and so. So, oh, I've done so well since you've been here. Oh, you're the greatest Jacob. I need to pay you. What can I pay? See, that's the kind of reason you can feel like that's when he said good. The last time he said something good and Jacob made a treaty with him or an agreement. And he says, but why did you steal my God? Do you feel that? Does anybody feel the weight of that? Your God has told me to leave you alone. Your God has motivated me to let you go and not bother you. Why you need my God? Your God's talk. Your God threatens. Your God disturbed me. I came here to tear you asunder and take back what was what I called mine. Because even if you had gotten away from me and I didn't kill you, all of your cattle, all of these boys you got, oh man, I'd have servants galore. Why did you take mine? That's like somebody come out here with an old beat up Ford Maverick that's been up in Detroit or up north where they have all that that salt and it's rusted, no value to it. And somebody and it's like somebody got that and you drive a Mercedes. Why did you take this Maverick? You got a Bentley. Reminds me of Jeremiah. God asked a question like that through Jeremiah. What nations have gotten rid of their gods and took another god? You have left the fountain of living waters and went and dug a hole in the ground to catch water, cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. I see the opposite of that very statement here. Why'd you take mine? Your God is the truth. I just thought I'd just throw it in there for free. Please read.
And Jacob answered and said unto Laban, peradventure thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me.
I know you. I want you to know I know you. I know what kind of man you are. I know how wicked and deceitful and dirty you could be, and you have help. Read.
With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them.
Please read.
And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tents, but he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent, and entered into Rachel's tent.
Feel this. When there's a situation of evil in the family, on the job, anybody that you just with, and it's time for you to break this relationship, especially when they've been doing you wrong. Look at Jacob's pattern. Jacob's pattern says, where have I done you wrong? What have I done? Show me. Show me what I did you. Show me what I did wrong to you. You show me. You mentioned God told you that? Okay. Show me. Look at the cattle that I have. That's what they made in the agreement. If they're not ring straight, if they're not speckled or grizzled, you supposed to say that they were stolen. Yeah, you were. Show me where I have done you wrong. It's your stinking tail that's bringing the stench into the situation. It's you. It's you that need to be washed and cleaned up. Now go search. Search it out. Show me what I've done wrong. I submit to you that he'd have found Rachel. He could say, put her to death then. I didn't want your gods. I don't know nothing about your gods. Jacob pleaded his integrity. Reminds me of a man named Samuel. When Samuel pled his integrity, reminds me of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Which of you can convict me of sin? Speak up or shut your mouth. You know, the man named Sammy Curry, he doesn't say mouth, he said mouth. Shut your mouth! I like the way mouth sounds. Sometimes it just kind of digs in there where it needs to be. So he hadn't found it yet. He searched. Stephanie, Gary, Dree, isn't it nice whenever somebody has done you wrong, and you say, what have I done wrong? And you see them digging for something. Well, one time you said, but didn't you do it? Was I wrong for telling the truth? I said, show me what I did that was wrong to you. Please read. 34.
Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched, but found not the image.
That woman talking about she on her menstrual cycle, so he won't search. But Jacob has put an imprecation out there on them. What an imprecation or a curse is whenever you say, if you find this person, put this person to death. And she wasn't found. I submit to you that Jacob was already vindicated with his integrity. He had shown this man integrity. But it would have looked like that he probably had something to do with that. Because we see Rachel is already a thief, so she probably is a liar too. Deceit is deceit. So she has it, and it is not discovered that she has this. So while Jacob is being vindicated because of the fact he is one to be vindicated. Do you follow me? He is to be vindicated because he was vindicated. She would have made it look like he had done something wrong. So God did not allow that to show up and really protected her and protected Jacob's integrity so that Laban can fully see that you're fooling with the wrong one. This is the man of integrity and you are the one that's full of depth. The depth of sorrow of wickedness, the blackness of darkness that is forever, you are full of that, and I'm exposing you by the light of Jacob's integrity. Yeah, you better be afraid of me. I'm showing you, Laban. I'm showing Jacob. We talked about God was getting Jacob to know him when we talked about cleaving. When we talk about following God's charge, leaving the place where he was and where he had his encounter with God. Well, I want to talk about when Jacob made his vow to God and he made that emblem or that monument that I talked about. What I'm saying is God is showing him who he is. God is not only vindicating him in the eyes of Laban, but he's now showing Jacob, I really can protect you. I really am the one that when you come back, I'm going to be your God. You made a vow to me, and you're going to keep it. I kept my end. I want us to understand that we think that covenant with God is usually unilateral. No, it's a bilateral covenant. Unilateral means just one-sided. Bilateral means it's got both of us have a part to play. Jacob, you made that vow. For 20 years it took you to get to the place where you are now. Now, when you get to where you are, we still got some work to do with you. But I'm making a resume in your soul. You made a little emblem or monument to remember me. I'm making the ones in your head. I'm showing you how you went down there with nothing. You didn't even have a wife. You didn't have any children. You had a staff. You left in danger, and you come back in danger. Boy, you better know who I am. I'm setting the case before you so real and so strong. By the time you encounter me again, you're going to want me to be your God. And you won't let me go till I am. You're going to beg me to be your God. It won't be making no more deals. Like, I need thee every hour. Most gracious Lord. Read some more of the sweetest word of God.
And Jacob was wroth and chided with Laban.
Now he chided. Now after he had been vindicated, after he had stated his case, Jacob's strategy was covert. Laban chased him. Laban is motivated to make his departure. Why? God scares him. Now we move into my second part. Jacob scolds him. You see, because now the case is laid out there for everybody. I've seen and I've heard, you know, I've seen with my ears, okay, you can do that. Where there was a time that a young lady in this assembly, she got the chance to make her case. Got a chance to make her case in a place where it could be upheld and legally enforced. Oh, bless the Lord. Read it, Dree. Let's watch Jacob make his case.
And
go back to 36. It's real sweet.
And Jacob was wroth and chided with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass?
What have I done wrong?
What is my sin?
Where have I done you anything like you've done me, please?
That thou hast so hotly pursued after me.
So why are you always trying to beat me down? Now you want to hurt me. Please read.
Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff.
You have went through, this is what happened with people today. You have gone through your whole mind and you have found nothing. And if you did find something and I have apologized to you and tried to make it right, you still have nothing. Yes, you have. Because the best that I can do is to repent of what I've done to you if I've done you wrong, acknowledge it and try to restore. That's the best that I can do. I don't owe you forever. If I apologize for something and I've tried to make it right. They had laws that God gave shortly after these people when we get to the period of the law. That if I stole your sheep and I paid you back four, that's it. I owe you nothing else. I've already paid you back. I've already made my sacrifice and got it right with God. Now it's on you if you don't forgive. In this case, what has Jacob done to this man? Please read.
What hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge between us both.
Now, if you can find where I've done you wrong, lay it out here. Now, this is the beautiful thing in the case with Jacob, in the case with Laban. Because God came to Jacob and because God came to Laban and because they're now confronting each other and they're both fully aware that God is watching, I would say they're arguing their case before the judge. I really do. I already see that the Lord has already adjudicated what's going to be. Now, I'm just allowing you all to go ahead and deal with it so you all can see it laid out there in the eyes of the people. Laban brought his crew. Jacob has his crew. Because God has already dealt with what the outcome's going to be. But the people, in order for them to see how God worked, especially the 12 sons, well, the 11 sons and these wives, I believe they need to see it worked out. I don't think they've ever seen their daddy back now. Please read.
The 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten.
I ain't just talking about the gods here. I'm talking about, let's go back. Let's play the tape. Let's roll it back. I ain't stole nothing from you, fool. How Mr. T say, fool? Read.
That which was torn of these, I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. My hand is not required. My hand is thou required it.
I want you all to understand this. Dree is reading this way. And I'm not giving a criticism. But I just want to make this point. The scripture said Jacob was wroth. Now, unless a person is really, really good, if they're wroth, they can't be this just straightforward. There's something in it. And the Bible said Jacob chided. Jacob was angry. I look up the word wrath or wroth, and he was burning. So I want you all, when you hear Dree read that, hear that in your mind. when the person may be, when the veins in the head is kind of swelling, and their throat and their eyes get kind of tight, and maybe their nose is flaring, and their voice is raised, and their hands are gesticulating. Okay? I want you to see it like that's right, Naomi, like that. Because can you imagine? Where did you search all my stuff? Where you found it? I want you to hear it like that. Okay? I'm not asking Dree to read like that. I want people to hear this to be able to hear her. But I want you to feel it. Where's the stuff? Lay it out here. Show them. Show them. Because Jacob is getting some. Yes, sir. He's digging in a place where people don't want it dug into. He's tearing him asunder. Yes, he is. 20 years! And you want to tell me that you put up with something 20 years, Dree? Can't you feel every one of them? The Jackson used to have a song, can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? I can feel that 20, subtract 20 years from your life and just imagine how much softer the skin was. How much better the eyesight was. How much quicker the recovery was when you got tired. For 20 years, I've been with your ewes, your she-goats. When they cast it, I didn't eat your food. When something was torn to pieces, I didn't even make you pay for it. Are you chasing me? See, I want you to understand that when God gives you the permission to exit, when God tells you what to do, when God has vindicated you in front of everyone that is concerned, you have the right and the ability to lay your case out there and straighten it out. And God allows Jacob to look strong in front of his family. He wasn't merely mouthing. He went out covertly. But when it came down to it, when God had strengthened him, oh, it was beautiful. It was wonderful. Treat me some more the sweet word of God. Don't make it 39 for me.
That which was torn of beasts, I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it.
No. I mean, yes, you did, but I was supposed to. Read on.
Whether stolen by day or stolen by night, thus I was. In the day, drought consumed.
In the day, I'm thirsty. I'm burning up. Read.
And the frost by night.
I'm out here in the cold and the doggone frost. Read.
And my sleep departed from my night.
And I'm tired and weary, can't even get my sleep. Please read.
Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters. And 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times.
Let him stab the bull as it runs past the red apron. Come on, let Jacob be the matador now. Hit him.
Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. God hath seen my affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee last night.
I know I got you now. I know it. God is saying that if you mess with me, I'm going to tear you up. You're scared now, aren't you? But for 20 years, you had your way with me. For 20 years, you changed my wages. For 20 years, you left me in the cold. For 20 years, I was out there in the nighttime. I was out there in the cold and in the hot and in the heat. And you treat me like I wasn't nothing. You were going to leave me with nothing. You were going to put me out and send me back to my family empty-handed. You were going to dog me. And you were going to treat me like used toilet paper. You were going to treat me like I was disgusting vile in the waste. That is not pleasant to the eyes of man. But God said, this boy that you see like that is the apple of my eye. He's mine. And I want him. I want him to straighten you out. Just like I told Abimelech, that his granddaddy was a prophet. I want you to know, I want you to see, Laban, that you've been messing with somebody of mine. And I want you to see, and I want you to know how my hand works in situations in the lives of men. And I want you to see it. I want you to see, Laban, that all those times that you were doing stuff, you were an instrument. Your wickedness was used as an instrument. But I want you to see the whole time that I was working against you when you were working against him. The first 7 years, I let you have some blessing, but I was watching. I want you to walk away from him afraid of Jacob. I want you to walk away and know that he is greater than you. When he came there, you thought you were greater than him. He was your servant. I want you to walk away from him knowing that you do not excel Jacob in any, how did my daddy say it, shape, form, or fashion. Read it. I'll show you. Read on.
And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters.
And my two daughters, they're mine.
And these children are my children.
And they're my children.
And these cattle are my cattle.
They're my cattle too.
And all that thou seest is mine.
Everything you see, Jacob, is mine.
And what can I do this day unto these, my daughters, or unto their children which they have borne?
But what can I do? As far as I'm concerned, all this is mine. Everything I see, all this cattle. And when we get to see how much he sends to his brother, it's a lot. It's a lot of cattle. And he said, all this is mine. It's mine. It's mine. I like the cartoon say, it's mine. But then it's like, but what can I do? I had you in my power. And everything that you've taken away, I had in my power. But what can I do? The power has left me. Read some sweeted word of God.
Now therefore, come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee.
Now, you see, when God motivates Laban, he's obedient just like Jacob. But during that process, what did it take? God had to scare him. God had to threaten him. Jacob scolds him. And now we see Laban surrenders. When he says make a covenant, he had made a covenant before, had he? When he felt he was top dog, he didn't make a covenant, did he? Now when it's like you, there's nothing you can do anymore. When you see that Jacob is in the driver's seat because his God has threatened you, now you want to make a covenant. Let's see what the covenant is for. Read, please.
And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made an heap, and they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it Jagar Sahatutha.
Good God Almighty. Read on.
But Jacob called it Galeed.
Now what Laban calls it, it corresponds to the root of a word that basically means a witness or a heap. That's what it means, just a heap. Okay? And Jacob calls it a witness heap. So it's Jacob called it Galeed, which is what is considered to be a witness heap. And Laban calls it the same thing, but it's a different, I mean, it just comes out differently in the way they say it, but it has the same meaning, a witness heap. Read on.
And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and thee this day.
Now, usually those kind of witness heaps and things like that, this is before God. It's before the witnesses and all of that. Please read.
Therefore was the name of it called Galeed and Mizpah. For he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another.
Now, when you used to hear people say this, may the Lord, and people repeat it, watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. This is not something that's nice. This is a threat. This is a threat. This is not, you know, because, you know, sometimes they would have these little things like a heart that was gold plated, and they would have it split down the middle. And when you put it together, it would say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we absent one from another. Well, this is where that passage comes from. Now, Mizpah, they made the heap. It's called Galit, a witness heap. I said it before the Lord. What did they say? The Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. Read 50.
If thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take other wives beside my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness between me and thee.
51.
And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap, and behold this pillar, which I have cast between me and thee.
52.
This heap be witness, and this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm.
Wait. Do you feel it? Do you see it now? You were never worried about Jacob doing you harm. Let me do like the rappers. You would fold my arm. He was never worried about Jacob doing him harm. So this witness heap, this at Mizpah, it's not something that's nice. It's like, you witness, you don't take other daughters. You're trying to tell other wives. You're trying to tell him he's not going to take no more wives. But the real thing came down is that God is witness, that I won't pass over this heap to you. But he didn't say to do you harm. But you will not pass over this pillar for me to harm. Because I've done you wrong. I've done you wrong. And I'm afraid. I said everything that you got is mine, but why is it now that I'm worried about you coming to do me harm, and I want you to swear before your God and make a covenant with me? I submit to you that Laban has seen God's sovereignty in this. I didn't say he's saved, but he sees it. He's seen Jacob elevated to the place where you are now over me, and I'm asking, I don't want you. I want you to swear that you won't come and hurt me. Read some more of the sweetest word of God. It's so sweet.
The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. And Jacob swear by the fear of his father Isaac.
Now notice, the God of Abraham is different than the God of Nahor and the God of their father, as far as I know. They may have learned about the God, but I know they were pagans. Joshua said that they were. But Jacob swore by the God of his father, Isaac. Please read.
Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread. And they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount.
Did you feel that? Did you see what just happened in verse 54? Something magnificent is in verse 54. Who makes the sacrifice? Whose God is it that they swearing by? Therefore, Laban would have been out of order to try to make a sacrifice in this covenant. Jacob has been elevated to the place where he's not only over him insofar as I'm afraid you can harm me, insofar as who got the most stuff, and even when it comes to whose God is the greatest. Jacob is elevated to the place where he's performing a priestly function insofar as them having that covenant. It's beautiful when the Lord lets your family, your friends, or your co-workers, or somebody that you have had a long time problem with see that God has elevated you above them. It's a beautiful thing. But when God does that and delivers you, it's not your doing. It's His. But be prepared for the next thing, because as long as we live, there's always something to get us closer and deeper. And even if it's not to get us closer and deeper, God got to let His word be known and His ways be shown in the lives of men. Expect things to happen. Expect things to happen. Please read the last verse.
And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned unto his place.
So we see that there were two departures in this passage. One departure was to get out of trouble. The other departure was to leave the one that God has blessed alone. I submit to you that maybe Laban got to be blessed after that. I don't know. But as long as he was working against Jacob, God's hand was going to be against him. God elevated Jacob. We have seen God working in the life of Jacob. We've seen him when he didn't know what God's will was to do. We've seen him as he's gone through making a vow, trying to leave and making vows to God. Now we see how God worked for him for 20 years. I submit to you, Aunt Ruby, I submit to you, those of us that are here, God is working in the lives of people that we know sometimes. And we may interfere with what God is doing because we don't realize for some people their head is hard. Their learning curve is very slow. And they have to go through things over and over again before they get it. But I submit to you that when God has fully made himself known to a person, that it's time for them to make a change. If they don't, it's to their detriment. We cannot allow the evil of kin people. We cannot allow the evil if there's evil on our jobs. We cannot allow our own evil to keep us from separating from that and going and be where God wants us to be. Where does God want us to be? In his will. Where does God want us to be? Productive for the kingdom. Where does God want us to be? In a place where our lives is so vindicated before people that they can see God's hand working in our lives, and that they will either fear God and accept him for themselves, or fear God and realize that God is real and go back to themselves. Ann's listening, depart, discernment. See what's going on. Hear from God. Exit the evilness. Plead your case when you have the opportunity. Because there may be those that you need to learn what you're trying to do. They may need to see it. They may need to go along with you and partake of it. Acknowledgement of God's hand in the situation. Recognize what has happened. Reveal what has happened and rebuke it if it's necessary. And trust God. And the motivation will be there. The motivation will be there. The protection will be there. The power of persuasion will be there. And I submit to you, God will give you or help you with the strategy. And he has the ability to motivate the ones that's bringing the evil to get away from you because he's sovereign. I hope that we've been able to cover something in this chapter that would at least make us think, that you may be able to draw your own sermon from the information that was given, or something that you can cleave onto and grab on in your life. Father, thank you for your blessed eternal word. I ask you by your might and your power to give us the mindset that when we pray for you to deliver us from evil, that we be aware when it's time, that we be aware that even if it's in us or if it's in our family, if it's in our children, that we do what's necessary to be delivered from it so you can get the praise and the glory and the honor, and that your sovereignty can be recognized by both those that will follow you and those who are trying to do